not sure if the laws have changed, but I'm pretty sure that they haven't, and so forgive me, I didn't do my research. But when he wrote this, adoption meant that when you adopted someone, they became yours. They were a part of your family. If you had naturally born children, you could disown and disinherit your naturally born children. You could never disown or disinherit your adopted children. You were responsible for taking care of them for the rest of your life. So when you died, you had to leave them an inheritance. You were never allowed to be disassociated with them. You were never allowed to be rejected or abandoned. So what God is saying is when you accepted his gift of salvation, he drew up the adoption papers. You are now called his children. Okay? You are eternally his, and it is irrevocable. So if you get nothing else today, I ask that you remember that if you have truly given yourself to Christ and you have on that robe of righteousness, then you are his son and daughter, and it is irrevocable. In verse 6, Paul says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Colossians 1:13 reads, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. In 1 Corinthians 12:27, he says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you has a part in it. Grace is unmerited favor. It is something you did not deserve and you were blessed with. It is an absolute free gift. Accepted means that you are graced with grace. You are favored with favor, and there is no rejection. So if God tells you that you are completely accepted in him, that he loves you unconditionally and you cannot be accepted from, can be rejected from him, then how is it that we continue to allow that spirit of rejection such a high place in our minds? How is it that we continually give in to him and believe that God does not love us, that we are not accepted, we are not worthy, and we believe his lies? When you have Christ in you and you know that you have been accepted, it is time to cast out that spirit of rejection. It is time to take on the spirit of truth and to take on that spirit of adoption and sonship. You need to transform your minds so that you are capable of applying the Holy Spirit to you, applying the Word of God, meditating on it. You repent for allowing that sin to get in there. You repent for letting that lie take festering, and you change your minds. Romans 12:2 tells you, you do not conform to this world. You transform yourself by the renewing of your mind. Okay? Because you have a job to do. You have to prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, and you can't do that if you keep believing a lie. Dropping down to verse 13, Paul emphasizes that after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. 2 Corinthians 1:22, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a promised pledge and oath. Galatians 3:14 really relates to you as well. He redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ, so that by faith we will receive the Spirit of promise. Ezekiel 36, verse 27 touches on this a little bit more as well. The Lord says, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. So you don't do this on your own. Why are you crying? Not that bad yet, Sharon. So the Lord will put his Spirit in you, and he will cause you to walk the way he has predetermined for you to walk. So sealed means that it is an impression in a an impression on a document that undoubtedly validates the contract that's therein. Seals were put on documents by a king or a wealthy man. There was a penalty that anybody who broke the seal that was not the person who wrote what was in the document and put the seal on it, or the recipient of that seal, would be put to death. When John was writing the book of Revelation, his vision, he saw the seal that God wrote and sealed. And he cried and lamented because there was no one that he found that was capable of opening the seal. However, Jesus was. Jesus wrote it. Jesus could open it. So praise God for that. Because of God's seal upon you, you receive the Holy Spirit, and nothing can take you out of the hands of God. If you look at Romans 8, 38 and 39, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, I am persuaded, that means unmovable, I am in this direction, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, that means the enemy, the devils, and the demons, nor anything present or to come, height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can take you out of the hands of God when you have given your life to him. You've put on that robe of righteousness. He has sealed you. He has adopted you. You are his. Nothing can take you out. In the beginning of Ephesians, Paul knows that he's hitting us with some pretty heavy detailed stuff. So he takes time in verses 18 and 19 and he begins to pray for us. He intercedes on our behalf so that we can understand what it is that he's saying. He tells us that these things are really hard to grasp, and he wants us to get an understanding. He wants you to be empowered with the same measure or the degree that his mighty power comes by the Holy Spirit in us. So what he's telling you is, you have the Holy Spirit in you. I need you to get this. So he prays, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened and that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? God tells us that the same power that rose Christ from the dead, from the grave, lives in you. You have the same measure. Christ was in the grave for 3 days. The Holy Spirit raised him. When Lazarus was in the grave, he was in the grave for 4 days. Christ raised him. That same power lives in you. So I don't want to hear, I can't, and there's no way possible. If Christ lives in you, and you have been sealed, and you have been adopted, and you know that you have the robe of righteousness on, and you know undoubtedly and immovably that you are his, I don't want to hear, I can't, because that's not true. The Holy Spirit lives in you, and you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength to do so. Colossians 1:27 says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a little hard to understand. However, Peter Harbin, in his book, Healing Through Deliverance, which, of course, I've had to read almost twice now, he gives a really clear picture of this, and this is what he says. The scripture, Christ in you, the hope of glory, becomes dramatically expressive of the position that we adopt when we become Christians with response to the powers of darkness. Under their control, the powers of darkness, and their domination, our only hope was one of eternal torment and separation from God. But, I'm off. I have no power. Hello? Oh, there I am. Okay, but because Christ is in us, we are the beneficiaries of his victory and have a rightful share in the glory that is to come. Because we are in Christ, we are no longer subject to the elemental spirits of the universe. So what that's telling you is, you've been born again. Christ lives in you. You are sealed. I can't stress these things enough, so I'm going to keep repeating them for you. That your hope when you were in the world was eternal damnation. It was torment, it was torture, it was separation from God, it was a place where there was no love, no companionship, you were isolated. But with Christ in you, your hope is glory. You get to reside with Christ in heaven for eternity. You get to be at his feet worshiping him. You get to glorify him. You are called the saints of God. And I'm looking at the time and I'm early. Colossians 2:2. My goal is that they may encourage in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, which is namely Christ. So now we're going to ad lib. When you come against the enemy and he attacks you, he's going to bring you a whole bunch of lies. He's going to tell you that you're worthless, tell you that you can't do anything. He's going to tell you that Christ doesn't live in you and you haven't been chosen. But I beg to differ, because in Ephesians, if you look in your bulletin and you look, Troy, can you put that thing back up there for that list, please? God tells you who you are. First of all, you're blessed, okay? You are chosen in him before the foundations of the world. These are the things that you're going to learn how to repeat yourself verbally out loud, and this is going to break every stronghold that the devil puts on you. Okay, you're going to start washing yourself in the word. You're going to remember that God predestined you. He called you out. You heard the gospel. You were filled with his power. You glorified his name, and you came to eternal life because he has already marked you. You have been adopted. You are accepted in the beloved. Accepted is a huge word. You're not rejected. He doesn't cast you to the side. He's not throwing you into hell. He's choosing you for himself. He has separated you from everything that is in the world and brought you to himself. You have been redeemed through his blood. Redemption is really big. That means you were bought back with a price. Your salvation didn't come easy, and it didn't come without a cost. You are forgiven of sins. And one of the big things that the enemy likes to do is tell you that you were not forgiven, and he likes to keep you to wallow in it. But if you can repent of your sins and you give it to God and you have a heart repentance and you truly are sorry, not because you got caught, but because it hurt God's heart, that is a repentance, and through God's blood, you are redeemed. You have grace abounding, and it is provided to you with wisdom and prudence. That means that you have the mind of Christ. So therefore, if you have the mind of Christ and you keep reading God's word, you can be filled with God's mind. And therefore, you will develop an intimacy with him that makes his will your will and his thoughts your thoughts, because you give yourself to him. You have obtained an inheritance that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That means that, where are you going to go? God is, what does he say? I'm going to go prepare mansions for you. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. So just look forward to your mansion. Tell God what you want. Well, you think he can't give it? I want horses, thank you, and tigers, just so you know. Just want to put that out there. You have been saved. We know that through Ephesians, you've been saved by grace through faith. It is not of your, you didn't do anything to deserve it. It is an absolute gift. It is receiving a gift. If someone hands you a gift and you don't take it, it doesn't belong to you. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You have been given the Holy Spirit as a guarantee for your inheritance. That means you are marked by God, and you are guaranteed your inheritance. Your Father who adopted you does not leave you abandoned. He leaves you with something when you go. You are made alive. You raised up together with him at the throne of God. God sits next to his Father at the right hand. If you are raised up with him and he has made you to sit in the heavenly places, where do you sit? And if that's where you sit, how can the devil tell you you don't? But when you continue to speak your words out loud, you will begin to believe these things, because it goes from here to here. And when it gets in here, it takes root. And when it takes root, it grows. You become that tree planted by the water that has fruit in every season. You have been created in Christ for good works. You have a purpose. You're not here just to sit around and look cute and rock on your rocking chair on the front porch and go, Jesus is coming, have a good day. You have been created for a purpose. You have good works to do. You have a gospel to preach. You have to take the souls of those who are in the grip of the enemy and get them out of there. Your job is to preach the gospel. All right? Jesus tells you that repeatedly. Look at Mark. What does he tell you? Go and preach the gospel to all nations, to every living creature. Sounds to me like you got something to do. You can't just be sitting around fat, dumb, and happy, waiting for Christ to come back and say, oh, well, guess what, God? I'm saved. Yeah, you know what he's going to tell you? I know you not. You're a worker of iniquity. I'm pretty sure none of us want to hear that. You have been made one with the broken down the middle, the walls of separation, and made peace. So what God is telling you is that he broke those walls of separation. What does God say? There's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no Greek, there's no man, there's no woman, there's no free, there's no slave. There's no separation whatsoever. There's no separation. There should be no division. Where does division come from? Certainly not God. He tells you already, there's no division. You have access by one Spirit to the Father. God tells you, you can come to my throne boldly. And the reason why you can do that is because you're his child. You can go sit on his lap. You can wrap your arms around him. You could hide under the shadow of his wings. Read Psalm 91. It's fantastic. Okay, you have fellowship with the saints and the members of the household of God. Who are the members of the household of God? Think in the spiritual realm. It's not just physical. You are members with the household of God. There are legions of angels that surround the throne and sing. They praise the Lord. They do the work of the Lord. There are warring angels. There are ministering angels. You reside with them. You are their members. You are a fellowship with them. The other thing God wanted me to talk about, and I guess that's why he gave me so much time here, was the fruits of the Spirit that God gives you that are cultivated and manifest. Every one of those will defeat the enemy in an attack. I actually tried this. The enemy was coming against me. He was trying to give me anger, bitterness. I was getting irritable. And normally I would pray against it, and I get my girls together and we pray and we fight. It takes 3 or 4 days and eventually, you know, I'm free. And the Lord says, so what about your fruits? And I'm like, all right, so what about them? He goes, go say them. I go, all right, and I go get my little coffee. I go sit down and I sit down and I said, I am love. I am joy. I am peace. And by the time I got to patience, the demon was gone. Literally, the anger was gone. That frustration was gone. Everything that God says you are when you cultivate these things, that's who you have to remember who you are. So the fruits, not only are they cultivated and not only can people see them, but they help you war against the enemy. Whatever it is that the enemy is coming at you with and whatever it is that you feel you can't get over, just remember what God says about you. Develop that fruit. Cultivate it. Wash yourself in the Word. The Word is filled with beautiful things. You are the apple of his eye. You sit at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. You are seated with him. He made you sit there. You have been adopted. You've been accepted. You've been redeemed. You are the tree planted by the water that bears fruit in every season. You don't run dry. There are numerous things that God tells you who you are. The more you can wash yourself in them and the more that you can cover yourself in them, when you speak them out, the enemy has no more grip on you and you can begin to get free. You need to start repenting. Lord, I'm sorry that I allowed this lie to come in. Cover yourself with the truth and defeat them. Cast them out, bind them, get rid of them, get yourself free. I am 52 years old and I have finally gotten free 2 years ago. All right? Finally. 50 years of my life in bondage. And you guys know my testimony. You know what I had to endure. You know those traces of the demons. The demons love to stay hidden. They like to stay hidden for a reason, because if you don't shine the light of God on them, they can sit there and they can work in you for the rest of your life. So would you rather be free or would you rather be in bondage? That's the choice. And I know we are really early, but I've got nothing else to say. So with that, I am going to bless you and I'm going to ask if any of you do not know that you are truly saved by God, that you have not put on that robe of righteousness, that you do not know that you are accepted and you need confirmation, we will be up here to pray with you. We'll be up here to reinforce the word of God on your lives. If you need to pray the prayer of salvation again, you need to rededicate your life, we will help you do that as well. Father, I thank you that you have blessed them. I thank you, Lord, that you have given them ears to hear and a heart that will receive. I thank you for cultivating their soil and breaking up the fallow ground, Father, that as this seed gets planted, that you would cover it with your Holy Spirit, that the birds of the air cannot take it, in Jesus' name.